And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself, I hope that discussion that my colleague Invalde had there on the home run session truly, you know, was very tantalizing in terms of the discussion point brought on, as well as also your opportunity to engage with the in-studio guests right here. And that's what we aim to do here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. As we bring you those discussions, we bring you those points, and we bring you those aspects also to participate in. Now, for tonight's discussion, as this is the Business and Economic Zone, what do? We talk everything business, and we talk everything related to the economical zone of influence, which is around the world, in our country, and in every facet of our life as it permeates through most of the modern world society. So, where I ended off last night, we touched on the very important discussion point coming from an article that we had in our, that, you know, over the weekend sessions, over the weekend editions of the Villager e-paper. We had an article with regards to, you know, the aspect of, well, quickly, you know, the switching off either our dependency on gas or oil or gas. And, you know, it was a major sort of like history lesson, which also touched on the various talking points of what has been going on, what is being going on, and what is still to happen and go on. But ultimately, the major and key discussion point that comes out of that article is a phrase which has been thrown much around by, the developed countries. We have to be honest, the developed countries. The phrase's name is just energy transition. Now, just energy transition, guys, is a transition towards a sustainable, low carbon, and equitable energy system, which is better for people and the planet. Better for the people and the planet. Currently, as it is envisioned, or envisaged, the current energy that we have is only better, is only working to us, to our benefit, humanity. It's not working to the benefit of the planet. Now, in all this, guys, the most important aspect is to understand, why do we need this just energy transition? Why? You and I, we've heard much in terms of, as we as the Namibia as a country, we are aiming to put ourselves on the map with regards to our solution towards a cleaner energy source for all. A cleaner, renewable energy source for all. A source, an energy source that potentially has the potential to be part of almost every facet of daily life. From transport to marine transport to lighting up to providing various other applicable solutions in terms of energy needs for the modern day society that we live in. That's the aim of the game. Now, according to the World Economic Forum, the why question is based upon a sense of justice. I know, you might frown and go like, what? I know, guys, when I also, you know, did my literature review and literature research, I was also cringing a little bit because we have to understand, why do you use the word justice then? Why is this like a saying we should stand together, you know, almost like sounding a call, you know, in terms of this is what we have to do and everyone needs to get together. Okay, but who have been the major benefactors so far of the current energy sources? Who? And what has been the global dynamics so far? And how has the global dynamics been shaped in this regard? Now, we're quickly going to hit our next ad break. And from that ad break, we'll be coming right back, heading into the bulk of our discussion here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And this is your Business and Economic Zone. Stay tuned.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo kupoperan tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokora sigara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura moe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo guanakuma puku rugomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833 358 2 8 8 Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital at omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now, as we come back from our extended break and where we left off, the notion of this just energy transition. Well, it's not just an aspect of the notion of it. It's a discussion in terms of why. Well, we know why. The why was part of the bulk of my discussion last night with regards to the move, the great demand. But the great demand, the great move has now been spurred on by the conflict, which I don't want to mention anymore. Let's all agree that we don't mention the conflict. But we know the conflict. We know it. We'll just say the conflict, a label. Now, it was spurred on by the conflict. And in that sense, according to the World Economic Forum, they indicate that countries must find a unique energy transition pathway and consider socioeconomic priorities, existing energy systems, and established organizational systems. So what are they ultimately asking you here is in terms of that the country must look at itself internally. So you need to take an introspective or do an introspection of yourself. That's not us. And consider a socioeconomic priority or prioritized approach in this regard, because it's about benefiting the greater population, the greater Namibian society, which ultimately is how the green energy, project is being dressed up and promoted as, we say, being dressed up and promoted as, because that is only what so far is happening. And then ultimately, it's all about shifting the current energy dependency that we as a country have into that direction. Now, what are our energy dependence? What is the current state of our energy consumption? So we've got fossil fuel, which is the diesel, petrol, sometimes coal-fired electricity generation. I say sometimes. I don't know when the last time was that Van Eck was on, or Von Eck. Yeah, Von Eck was on. And then obviously our energy supply also comes from the some of the coal-fired or coal-powered power stations of South Africa from Eskom. So currently, that's what the balance looks like. There's also a, I'm only talking about that, which is the polluting energy sources. Guys, don't get me wrong with regards to that. There is obviously the solar and the wind, but yeah, take them out. They are renewable. I'm talking about the, which is the predominant dependence, the dominant energy and where it comes from and how it's generated. And they are mostly coming from the fossil fuel based ones. The fossil fuel ones, remember, the fossil fuel ones are the ones that are being demonized. They're the ones that are being said, yeah, fossil fuel is bad for everyone. Without taking in consideration, you get countries like Namibia with small populations. Some countries that don't even ride, they don't even have cars anymore because they've become their city. They either the city is too small to own a car in. So there's a functioning public, you know, public, public transport system. For example, like Singapore. For example, countries like, Eswatini and Lesotho. They're too small to be considered. Or even though people are condensed in those two small areas, or in those three small areas that I just mentioned. Yeah. Everyone now needs to be a part of the problem-solving initiative that North America, Europe, and the greater part of Asia had created for us. It's good, guys, that I lay blame squarely at their feet, because it is at their feet. It is at their feet. But here's the thing, they want us to buy into their energy transition discussion, which is noble because we get to benefit for a chance out of this discussion. We get to benefit out of it. But it's a question of when. Now, ultimately also, a people-centered just energy transition is critical to addressing current and future challenges of an energy system. Well, the current, most energy needs in a country is based upon the needs of a people, right? I mean, you have hospitals that need electricity. You have business complexes that need electricity. You have schools that need electricity. You have, what else is there? You have emergency services that requires electricity. You have people's homes who want electricity. You have developmental projects, for example, like the various electrification projects that various government agencies and local authorities are embarking on in Namibia in order to bring electricity to people. So it is people-centered already. It is people-centered. If they're talking perhaps about their energy companies who are making astronomical profits when their own citizens are actually, you know, struggling in order to cope with the various demands, the diminishing purchasing power, the rising inflation that they are experiencing ahead over more than us in other parts of the world. I say us because, like I told you, just the very gruesome story of April in the UK, where was it 1 in 5 or was it 2 out of 10 Britons or UK residents had to pass up eating for a day, eating one of three meals a day. What I mean by that, they did not, let's understand this. You've got the template of that, an average person eats three meals a day. You have your three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now in the UK, It was measured that at least 2 out of 10 or 1 out of 5 UK residents, I'm being a little bit conservative with that statistic, had to sacrifice one of the 3 meal times in order, you know, to be able to pay an electricity or to have electricity for heating. Because supposedly April was one of their coldest months, and April is the back end of their winter. And that's because they had astronomical energy costs that were transferred onto their clients. And that's where the discussion of people-centered discussion points come in. However, the World Economic Forum also adds in something else. Industrial decarbonization is the missing component in emissions reduction, but international collaboration on technology transfer, financing, and capacity building are also key. Now, this decarbonization element, it's very interesting. For anyone that finds this discussion point interesting, try and Google search carbon trapping technology. To trap, you know, when you set up a trap, a snare, you know, carbon trapping technology. Now, carbon trapping technology is the key phrase that a lot of climate deniers constantly use. They use carbon trapping technology discussion in this, you know, in this entire, you know, climate discussion around the world as a means to justify why they still need to sell or use or produce or be in the fossil fuel business or fossil fuel industries. For example, it has come out just at the end of, no, just before that COP26 conference of last year, that Saudi Arabia, Japan, Australia, who else was there? It was most of the world's oil-producing countries were against some of the findings of a report, of a UN report on this dependency on the fossil fuel industries. And this UN report would have been the main feature also to be, you know, dissected and gone through, which they would then add in more substance into the entire discussion point. Now, what this UN body, who is responsible for this report, did, they shared the report with these various countries beforehand, before saying, okay, this is the final version of the report, just to give these countries that are mentioned some insights and, you know, just a perspective of what's contained about their country in it. Saudi Arabia wanted to change some of the text. They wanted it amended. The same also for Japan. The same also for Australia. The same also for Brazil. Brazil and Argentina were mentioned because of their industrial agricultural processes, especially with beef in the beef market. Who else was there? Oh, Brazil was also in terms of their current president, Jair Bolsonaro, who's being accused of allowing the, you know, farmers or ranchers to take more land from the Amazon forest. The Amazon rainforest, if you guys did not know, is considered as the world's lungs, because not only does it trap, because it's a natural carbon trapping mechanism, meaning that forest alone can trap a third of the world's carbon emissions. Converted, obviously, because you know what photosynthesis does, for any of us who still paid attention in our biology classes on high school. Photosynthesis is based upon the plant absorbing carbon and, you know, and what's the thing's name? And sunlight. And then emitting the oxygen element. But, Jair Bolsonaro doesn't want to hear that the agricultural harm that his country is allowing to take place on the Amazon forest. Remember, the Amazon, majority of the Amazon forest lies in Brazil. And it's shared between Colombia and Ecuador and the other surrounding countries just around, you know, just next to and around Brazil. So ultimately, there was already a major a major spanner thrown into the works with regards to this discussion about industrial decarbonization. Now, before we continue, we're heading into our next ad break, and after that, we'll come right back.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit. NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
This is a live read notice from the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board. All micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, in Korekas, Ochu and Omoruru are invited to the Know to Grow information sessions to be hosted by the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, NIPDB. The session is open to businesses in the following sectors: textile and manufacturing, agriculture, horticulture, and food processing. Topics to be considered or covered include access to finance and potential trade markets. In Korekas, the session will take place on Thursday, 16 June at the Velvicha Recreational Hall. In Ochu, the event takes place on Friday, 17 June at the Atosha Poort Community Hall, while in Omoruru, it will be held on Saturday, 18 June at Kashana Lodge. All sessions start promptly at 10 a.m. in the morning, and the entrance is free. For more information, email or send an email to k2g@nipdb.com or call the following number at 0811226029. Once again, for more information, email to k2g@nipdb.com or call 0811226029. Remember, that's a double one. Now, coming back from our quick ad break right there. So, the industrial decarbonization aspect has seen many, many voices for and voices against. And the voices against are all part of the major producers as well as also the major lobbyists around the world, which are also considered to be the deniers, the climate deniers. Now, we have to indicate, guys, that this is a very tricky slope, especially because most of the industrial decarbonization discussion is sometimes sees the various energy companies around the world present carbon trapping technologies as the alpha and omega technologies to use in, you know, the global emissions discussion, as well as also trying to trap carbon emissions from out of the atmosphere, from of the planet's atmosphere. And the things they are bringing up are technologies that have been considered to not be very helpful in most cases. Now, the international collaboration that they're also calling for, that's the World Economic Forum, has to do with technology transfer, meaning that is just like with what happened with the COVID pandemic, in terms of like the allowing Africa, a continent like Africa, to produce its own vaccines, or trying to distribute vaccine technology across the world for everyone to make use of said technology and to produce your own batches according to the ingredients and the recipe, perhaps. But ultimately, that will always be matched with some form of pushback. Either pushback in the sense that it could be seen as a way for some form of capitalization, meaning that someone will try to make money from it and then ultimately try and hold something to ransom. Or, for example, the notion of where some countries will use it as a form of, you know, like a bargaining tool in international platforms, for that matter. It's one of the reasons why you saw this, you know, the rapid springing up, or the rapid announcements with regards to something like the, if you just have to look at the scenario of the COVID vaccines around the world, China popped up on one side, Germany in partnership with an American pharmaceutical company jumped up on the one side, the UK with a Swedish Oxford the sort of like a partnership jumped up on the one side. The Russians popped out of nowhere with their thing, with their option. And in between, you've got various noises coming from American pharmaceuticals who at one stage said, we've got something, but there is no physical product for you to see. Because they just have something on paper. They don't have it physically made as yet. Which then, you know, saw this major sort of like, it almost looked like an arms race. If you guys have ever read history with regards to arms races, especially leading up to the Second World War, where these guys were spending exponentially on the latest military technologies, like we also now currently see it, which happened even during the Cold War. That's quintessentially what we saw, what we witnessed for the better part of 2020 leading up to 2021 and then leading partially up to 2022 as well. So ultimately, that's what happened. So luckily, we're not there as yet because the pandemic was a very sudden, very impactful event. However, the climate change discussion is always pushed a little bit back. And that is exactly, you know, I keep pointing back to the Davos feedback summit that the president and his cabinet ministers, had last week for the country to see and to gauge some feedback on, was the analysis or the observations that Mines and Energy Minister, Minister Alwindo, and as well as also Finance Minister, Minister Shimi had noted. Because you can see through their observations, what the two of them observed happening out there at this Davos summit. Remember, this is where the World Economic Forum guys were. And it's a platform for the World Economic Forum. What these two guys saw was in terms of, you know, what's the real mood out there? What's the real mood out there? It's not easy in terms of for media here in Namibia to try and tap into events where, you know, our representatives, that's now country representatives or political leaders, get to. But sometimes when you see, when they give you some feedback, like for example what happened last week, you get to see the body language. Now, Minister Alwindo gave one of the most, I'll call it very interesting, because his analysis, his observations are so true. You can see it reflecting. You can see it in real life. The notion where he said that the same guys who were calling for the climate action, just like I also mentioned to you last night, like the perceptions around most of the G7 or the G20, whatever you want to label those top developed countries in the world as, where someone like the UK Prime Minister, who's got politicians in his country or in his party in the UK who are lobbying against climate, against the who represents companies that backs his party, lobbying against climate action. Minister Alwindo confirmed the same sentiments that the rest of the world's media has just been speaking about. And they can only try to connect the dots for you. Where he said, it's the same countries that decided to say, listen, let's put those targets, let's push them a little bit back. Let's try and not think about them now. They don't seem as important now. But they technically are, guys. They technically are. I say this because you had a country like Madagascar up to the end of last year. They had not seen rain, I think, for a full year, they had not seen rain. Because their previous rain season ended in October of 2021. October, September, thereabout. So from that period up to November, they had not seen rain. It was deemed as that they are going through a drought spell, although it was just a year for them. It was deemed and categorized as a drought spell. Then we are getting the very weird weather patterns, for example, here over southern Africa, because Namibia's rain technically comes out of the Pacific Ocean, where most of our winter comes out of the Arctic. The Arctic being south, the South Pole area, the Antarctic, because the Arctic is North Pole, the Antarctic. So, because the cold fronts, this thing that we're now experiencing in the capital, this cold front, is what had pushed through from the South Pole. Because it has to come through Cape Town or through the Western Cape and it pushes up into the rest of the southern part of the continent. Now, ultimately, last year was pretty cold, guys. This year is not yet as cold as last year. Last year was pretty cold. And a lot of you would testify to that because we had those repeated cold fronts happening. But we're not happening it. We're not having it as yet. We're halfway through June already. So it does point to a different direction that our winter is probably also presenting to us. Now, the financing in the industrial decarbonization element as part of this just energy transition move has been the major, major stumbling block between the developing South and the developed North. Remember back to the Paris Accords, back to the Kyoto Protocol, back to any other summit with regards to the climate action. All the African countries, all the Pacific nations, the smaller ones, that's now minus Australia and New Zealand, all the South American countries kept telling the developed North, you guys said there would be money or budget made available for everyone to combat climate change, to combat global warming, to combat the impacts that we will face. Up to date, we're now at the 15th of June, 2022. Up to date, nothing has come about with regards to that budget discussion, or that financing discussion. Up to date. It is serious because here's the thing, guys. If you had to describe Namibia and its characteristics, we're a country with two deserts. We're the only country with two deserts in its borders. We have the oldest desert in our country's borders, but it's the smallest as well. But we're the only country with two deserts in it. Now, if you've got two deserts in your country, that presents a picture to anyone. Even it doesn't matter what investor you are presenting that picture to. An investor does not like to hear about a desert. I'll tell you this now. An investor doesn't want to hear about a desert. And if everyone is talking about moving away from oil and gas, then that means an investor has also been seeing messaging saying, listen, try to diverse in another type of energy source as well. The most important thing that we currently can present seems to be this green hydrogen energy discussion point. But remember, we're not the only one. We're not the only one. Our president also admitted to it. We're not the only one. So this does look like a race that we as a country are participating in. It's a race. I do not know if it will be on the scale of something like the arms race that you saw happening just before the Second World War or just before 1939 or the same or similar to like the Cold War, where in the US and the USSR, the former USSR, were both stockpiling on nuclear weapons and trying to have that military edge in terms of policy or geopolitical influence across the world. I do not know if it's similar to that or it could potentially be that. But let me tell you this now. If everyone is talking about getting off oil and gas, that means there's going to be a bigger urge, there's going to be a bigger discussion continuously going to take place. And this discussion will continuously come back to us. If you guys ever remember, you know, if you were the sports kid in the team, or the kid in the soccer team, or the guy in the soccer team who kept saying, you know, pass me the ball, I know what to do with the ball. And when the guys pass you the ball and they now want to see what will you do with the ball, you either...
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Now, the ad break just came in right at the most opportune time there to cut me short in that regard. Now, that is what the global scenario is going to look like. Now, the World Economic Forum indicated, because this discussion point came out just after that, the SDG 7, which is also known as the Sustainable Development Agenda, or the Agenda 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. They noted that there is still continuing global emissions taking place. Now, you might be wondering also, why do we have an energy discussion here on the Business and Economic Zone? Well, because the realm of business is dictated by your energy consumption. It's dictated by your energy consumption, the needs for energy in an economy. This is the discussion we're looking at. Now, understand here, guys, that whatever energy source is going to be deemed as, whoever is the producer is going to be the party who's going to be in the pound seats. Remember this. Whoever is going to be the producer of energy is going to be in the pound seats. I say the pound seats because you'll be the guy will either get unnecessary attention, for example, like what we've always seen with any war having to do with oil, or everybody would want to buy from you, and they will try to secure as much of your resource directly as possible. Directly as possible. We're currently seeing that kind of discussion, I'll call it campaigning. I'll call it what it is, because it technically is campaigning, which Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz is doing. He's visiting left, right, and center. And he continuously talks about this green hydrogen energy approach. So, it indicates that he himself seems to be the first of these global leaders to reach out and proactively work, whereas the Americans and the UK guys and the French guys have all said, hey, let's try and secure as much fuel, you know, oil and gas from other sources as quickly as possible. Now, this also poses a different discussion point for us. Because the key challenges right now for the just energy transition element, and this is according to the World Economic Forum guys, they indicated that firstly, countries have their respective challenges. For sure, I gave you the characteristics of Namibia. We've got this topsy-turvy seesaw scenario with our own weather patterns, also with the only country with two deserts in it. I say two. It's not the same desert. And ultimately, we also have our own needs to consider in this transitioning phases, or these proposed transition systems, for the energy systems that we want to incorporate, that would then be classified as sustainable going ahead. Now, existing energy structures, according to the World Economic Forum, and its systems, from infrastructure to established organizational systems, should be continuously transformed and readjusted to respond to global challenges and support the process of the energy transition. Second, what they also note as another key challenge is that a just transition towards sustainable energy will require huge amounts of financing. It will, guys. It will require huge amounts of financing. And it's about where to find said financing. Now, we've also got to understand most economies are still trying to recuperate. Because most economies have either been plunged into a direct recession, or they've been brought close to a recession, or they've just been totally wiped out by that pandemic. It's one of those three scenarios. And it has left around 150 million people around the world below the poverty line. 150 million is a lot of people. Now, that would already indicate to you that wherever that 150 million people are distributed across the world, this points towards that those governments, when those 150 million are, you know, evenly distributed over, are first trying to combat with certain socioeconomic issues. Firstly, trying to look at various mechanisms to try and stimulate their own economies. So ultimately, in a side trying to develop another type of energy source, trying to divert into getting your economy running on a different energy, will ultimately take a little bit of a backseat. It'll take a little bit of a backseat because there's a more direct need and a more direct emergency to look at first. The next key challenge that they also identify is that this just energy transition will require a lot of changes and a lot of shifting, especially in the technologies, especially in the jobs, as well as also other economic opportunities. Guys, we have to stare certain realities in the face, and you have to see those realities when something like the green hydrogen energy discussion comes about. Because you have to start asking about various ecosystems within our economy. Will something like the service station still exist? Will it? Will something like even Transnamib, will they even exist? Because remember, they run on locomotives. Their locomotives run on, I think it's diesel. Will those locomotives still be useful? What will be the cost for replacing the transport sectors in our country? That's now from taxis to you as a normal driver. Will we be told, or will the various car dealerships in our country be told, listen, either start selling electric vehicles, or the South Africans will have to find a solution in terms of developing and building green cars that run on, that have green hydrogen energy based engines. Will they have to do that? And those are the economic opportunities and economic challenges that are going to come about. Because if you say just energy transition, if you say transition, just transition alone, means you've got to change. You've got to move on from something. Move on. You know, like someone would tell you from a relationship when they dump you, to move on from them. And this is what is being pushed. Because it's not just about switching on the light in your house, but your car outside is still running on petrol or diesel. It's not just that. And Namibia's population is too big, you know, to try and fit into being a feasible market for petrol and diesel. Because it's only feasible enough for the energy companies that find themselves in Namibia's market. They are designed to suit Namibia's market. They're designed to suit Namibia's market. So they have their benchmarks, they have their targets, they have their key performance areas that they will be judged on, that they will be evaluated on. And it's based upon Namibia's market size. And it once again points to the very interesting and direct question that I had asked there at that Davos feedback session. in terms of, is there a notion, a direct notion, has there been any planning or consideration whether or not how to incorporate this green hydrogen energy for local consumption? Guys, we've got to know. How long will it take? Because if it's about, look, it's not about, you know, sending it directly to your house. It's what I'm considering or thinking about is, will it be the next energy source to give us electricity locally that will allow local authorities and various government agencies to go on a quicker rollout program of bringing electricity to the far-flung areas of this country, to the most isolated rural communities of this country? Would it allow for something like that to happen a lot quicker? Would it allow Namibia to dictate its own direction in terms of its power grid, its supply? Whether or not the mines that are in this country, whether they can fit into that same energy supply discussion? Will it allow Namibia to then also get into a quicker notion or speeding up the process for Namibia to get into a quicker manufacturing aspect? Will it speed up that process for us? Because believe you me, guys, when you are looking at manufacturing, perhaps, value addition, whatever you want to call that label, your major question you will always ask is in terms of, you are bringing investment on one side, so you would like some leeway, some form of accommodation on one side in terms of that you don't pay a high electricity bill or a high water bill. So will it allow for such conveniences to be considered going ahead? Because if we have our own energy supply, we generate it ourselves, will it allow for such opportunities to spring up? Will it allow Namibia to get onto that road or notion of having some form of electric public transport aspects? Because guys, I'm still wondering after 30 years, why do we have something like taxis still? Why don't we have something like a proper functioning public bus system? If we're going to have taxis, for sure, but why does it not replicate something like what you would find in a city what do you find? Where can I make use of? I'm not going to use South Africa, because South Africa's one is even worse than ours. I mean, they have something known as taxi bosses. Taxi bosses are considered almost like crime bosses. These are guys that own 20, 30 of those, you know, those mini buses. And they usually get involved like gang lords in turf wars, which is not a good thing in any economic discussion. It's not a good thing to consider, to know that that people that are involved in your public transport are potentially also proponents and, major instigators in crime, especially in the public transport realm. So it's not a good thing to even consider. But it is discussions that we've got to consider. When are we going to go see, you know, why must we look at a TV program and wonder, why don't we have a bullet train? Why don't we have a train that runs on electricity? Why? Now, hopefully, this discussion will get us there, will build us up to that perspective, that aspect. Because ultimately, the World Economic Forum mentions here that it's all about having that sustainable recovery towards green and inclusive economies, and also to harness those opportunities that are associated with that approach. Lastly, and that if it's a just energy transition that is to be achieved, that new opportunities such as jobs and other prospects will need to be created to support global economic recovery. So, their main focus for now, and this is where I'm ending off, because for tonight's program, I don't have the luxury of like last night's session. This is where I'll leave you off with this last thought. Focus on scaling up of the technologies. And this is where they say that they've got to scale up the widest variety of these technologies for the whole world to benefit from.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now on that note, that brings us up to the end of this evening's program here of your Business and Economic Zone on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned as the matriarch is about to make her entrance. And on that note, do stay safe, do stay warm wherever you find yourself, as well as also you can find me back here tomorrow morning on your brand conversation, as well as also later in the day, same time, same place, on your Business and Economic Zone. And on that note, stay tuned for your regular programming to continue here on Eagle FM.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massive?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the app.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-27-3622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.
Hello Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.